It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, another great episode talking about everything that's happening in the great state of Wisconsin. We talked to her a couple weeks ago. Who is that? It's Mallory Payne. She's the, where's your title here? Executive Director, Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're talking about Plover, central Wisconsin. It's not a drive-by. I love their tagline, we do rush hour differently. Not that there's a huge rush hour in central Wisconsin, but there could be. But my point is, and one of the reasons we talked to the folks up there in the Plover area, which is central Wisconsin, at the heart of the state of Wisconsin, Mallory, is because there's a lot going on. And in the fall, which is sort of the time we're talking about, walking,
so much
exploring, so much fun stuff. Let's start with the water. Yes. Let's start with the water.
Absolutely. Yeah, so obviously central Wisconsin in the fall is gorgeous. There are stunning colors everywhere from reds, yellows, oranges, everything you can imagine. But a couple of different options for how to explore that. So yeah, I'd love to chat about the water options. So like I told you a couple weeks ago, we're surrounded by the Wisconsin River, the Plover River, Tamar River. So if you launch at Galecki Park and enjoy that stretch of the Wisconsin River, the banks of the river are just covered with all of the different varieties of trees that are going to give you that wide variety of colors that I just mentioned. And then, of course, the Plover River at the lower Whiting Park entrance is just, again, another stunning paddle for kayakers or canoers that want to enjoy those. The water reflections of the colors, and of course the colors themselves. So it really is like a two for one because it's the reflection on the water and the leaves themselves. It's stunning.
So is it sort of the set your own pace, like the kayakers and the canoers? Because I imagine, especially on the Plover, a little quieter, a little more serene setting.
Yeah, both. You know, honestly, the Wisconsin River in our area is just it's a relaxed paddle too. So both the Wisconsin River and Plover River in the Plover areas are really just nice, relaxing paddles.
One of the things that I know, because I've been in the area a lot, having friends in and family both in Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids, is the trail opportunities. So hiking is super big now. I've talked to some experts on the outdoor show, WTMJ Outdoors, about that. And you have several opportunities. We'll start with Standing Rocks. I know what it is, but tell everybody out there on WTMJ Outdoors what you're talking about.
Yeah, so Standing Rocks is a county park here in Portage County, and it's 524 acres of parkland, and it's surrounded by trails, by disc golf courses, by all sorts of things. So you can either bike, you can walk, you can hit the trails in that capacity, you could play through disc golf and enjoy the colors that way. Standing Rocks is just such a unique outdoor oasis. It's got, you know, truly something for everybody in that park. But the colors, again, are just going to be stunning in just a few weeks.
You also got the walk along. So Tamar River Trail, I know, is one of them. You talked about the Plover River, Little Plover River Trails. Describe that experience.
Yeah, so the Little Plover River Trails are some trails that go around the Little Plover River right there in kind of the heart of Plover. It's again an outdoor park that is just has quite a few different trails that kind of weave around the river itself and through some other areas too. So just a gorgeous walk. Highly recommend taking that one by foot. And then the Tamar River Trail, of course, is a little over 27 miles of rail trail that, again, is just surrounded by a variety of trees. It's going to give you that stunning color.
And we don't want to discriminate against those who experience recreation by car or motorcycle. There's also great opportunities to sort of leave your home, experience the fall colors and the sun with the windows down. Lots of great scenic drives in the Plover area, central Wisconsin area as well.
Yeah, you can really start in Plover and go in almost any direction and find a gorgeous county road that, of course, is going to be just surrounded on all sides by those reds, yellows, and oranges that everyone loves this time of year.
Let's talk about some of the specific fall stuff. And there's nothing better. I can remember doing this as a kid in central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, a fall corn maze. I know you do a bunch of fun stuff up there with that.
Oh, yeah. So the Phelps Dairy Corn Maze, they're one of our great partners for the fall, is going to be a ton of fun this year. The maze has actually come over to Plover themed, so we're doing some really cool stuff around that. We'll have Amazing Grace Passport, so our visitors can get discounts at local restaurants and attractions. They can earn points for checking in. And really the best part is those points are going to earn them prizes. So while they're, you know, exploring, whether it be the maze or after they've come off of a trail, they want to grab a drink or snack at a local restaurant, they're able to check in and earn those points and prizes. And it's just going to be a really fun kind of layered approach to fall through the corn maze this year.
And you made it easy for people. Come over to plover.com/fall so they can see all the great information about the Maze and Grace Passport. I love the fact that you got local restaurants and attractions all sort of partnering together. That shows the sense of community that's going on in central Wisconsin in the Plover area.
Yeah, absolutely. The maze itself is going to call out some really cool like Plover stops. So we've got the world's largest potato masher that's actually part of the maze design. We've got a huge mountain biker that's built into the design, which, you know, calls out the mountain biking trails over it, Standing Rocks. It's a really cool layered approach this year through that corn maze base. And there's actually three different mazes in the design. So it's going to be a challenge for people who love that challenge, but it's also going to be so much fun.
All right, so this last one, before we let you get out of here, we're talking to Mallory Payne, Executive Director of the Plover Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. I know what Oktoberfest is, but you have something called Plotoberfest, October 18th. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Plotoberfest is an event that Oso Brewing Company puts on. This is actually going to be their fourth year doing it, and it's so much fun. It's a full day full of fall beers. They actually have bratwurst pizza.
Love that.
They do a sign-holding competition. It's so much fun. It's a great event to attend, and especially after you've spent all day outdoors exploring the trails. It's amazing to just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy some live music, some of that great pizza and beer that Oso's is known for.
And I imagine that's a huge community event as well, because everybody knows that the fun of October and Plotober has got to be very similar.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's such a draw. And, you know, they actually do, Oso's actually does a beer specifically for it, too. So it's a big draw. It's a lot of fun.
All right, Mallory Payne, I love your slogans. We do Rush Hour differently. Come over to Plover. If anybody wants to find out about any of the great things you talked about today, including the Amazing Grace Passport, Plotoberfest, the city and area of Plover in central Wisconsin, how do they find you?
Come over to plover.com is our general website, but if you want specifically the fall content we talked about today, it's comeovertoplover.com/fall. We made it really easy to find all of that very specific fall content that we know people are going to be looking for.
Mallory Payne, you are awesome, and you are a great spokesperson for Plover. I look forward to meeting you and hanging out in Plover sometime in this fall. Thanks for coming on WTMJ Outdoors.
Of course. Thanks.
All right. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors. Lots more to come on 620. WTMJ.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Always enjoy talking about everything from recreation to hunting to fishing to camping to even had a rock climbing segment recently. So one of the things that people have asked me to talk about, because I always say, hey, if you want to suggest a topic, people can do that, is taxidermy. It's not just about the hunting and fishing part, but sometimes you want to remember that day for the rest of your lives or celebrate a great achievement in hunting and fishing. So I had a couple recommendations, and I've heard really good things about our next guest, Kyle Schmidt, Northwoods Taxidermy, Eagle, Wisconsin. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it, Steve. All right, love to talk taxidermy.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you the easy question first. How did you get into this?
Yeah, so about 15 years ago, I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, and a family member had a taxidermy shop in his basement, and a buddy of mine spent several months up there kind of getting our hands dirty and doing a little taxidermy. So that's where it all started. From there, it evolved into, buying Dan Terwicki's business that was started from, since the 80s, and so that's where it all started, is Alaska, and it ended up back home here in Wisconsin. So
we all know about the big hunt season. It's in Wisconsin. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. It's either the bow archery season or gun deer season, white-tailed deer. So yep. much of our history, and it's obviously the most popular hunting part of the year, the tradition of it. But some of that tradition is the mounting of the deer that you shoot. And I'm sure you have some great stories, and I'm sure you've had some amazing mounts over the years. But just walk us through that. I want to start from the part that I think a lot of hunters, maybe if they finally shot a deer they want to have mounted, aren't necessarily sure. thinking about when they are, you know, cleaning their deer, processing their deer, whatever. What mm-hmm. do they have to do after they shoot the deer, after they gut it, after they mm-hmm. bring it from their hunting land to wherever they're going to take it to? What should they be thinking about when we're talking about a shoulder mount specifically?
Yeah, that's a good question. As far as a whitetail goes, if you're looking to have a shoulder mount, first make the decision. Yes, I'm going to do this. You know, stay away from the brisket area and always give us the front half of the deer, or any taxidermist, the front half mm-hmm. of the deer. A lot of people think shoulder and they get in that neck region and they don't leave enough cape, you know. So the front half, meaning belly in half forward, is always what we suggest, and we can always trim if needed. Stay away from the brisket area, which is that lower frontal part of the deer. Below the neck there. And yeah, I mean, most people are able to at least tape the deer or skin the deer up to a point and just cut the head and or cut the neck and bring us the head with the antlers cold, dry. That's big. If you can freeze things immediately, that's always best case scenario because it stops any bacteria from doing any damage. But nonetheless, if you can't freeze it, you just get it to your taxidermist ASAP and from there, we kind of finalize the process, get ready for tanning. So a big thing is, yeah, commit to it. Stay away from that brisket area when you're gutting the deer. Give the front half of the deer and get it there in a timely manner. So
might seem like an obvious question, but what if you're doing a horns, antlers only mounts?
Sure.
Same rules yep. apply or different?
Yeah, the same rules would, you know, as far as keeping it cold and dry, you know, last thing you want is to bring in a, you know, dripping nasty skull mount. That never makes a taxidermist very happy. that can be more just cut right through the hair, you know, at the back of, or at the top of the neck, at the back of the head. You want to, you know, leave a little neck meat on there so you don't accidentally hit your bone, but that can be done with a knife, Sawzall, whatever you have. And then just again, frozen or kept cold and dry. And that one, you don't have to worry about skinning anything or whatnot. We handle all of that. It's just more get the head off intact and bring that in. So,
do you still get people coming in like to tan the hide or even making sort of a wall mount with just the hide of the deer?
Yeah. That's, you know, an older tradition type thing for some people. And yeah, we do a bunch of them every year where we just dry tan a whitetail hide, and some people use it for certain things, you know, to make certain things. Other people just throw it over the couch or, you know, if they have a cabin, over a chair and just enjoy that. You know, I mean, it's about using most of the animal, you know, and some people really are good about that, actually. So, we enjoy helping that process.
What's the normal turnaround time? Someone drops off their deer that they're going to have mounted, whether it's shoulder mm-hmm. or antlers. Normal turnaround time for a taxidermist. Obviously, sometimes you're busier than the others.
Yeah. I think on average, like a good taxidermy shop is getting things done in a year or less. The big thing is fall always, you know, rolls around annually, you know, so it's like a year or less is always the goal, especially here. And I think most guys that are running a good shop are a year or less. And some deer are done in 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, seven, eight, all the way up into the year. So, that's the average, I would say. Your turnaround.
I'm an older guy, so I've been around a lot of deer camps in my life, and I've noticed
sure.
that there are mounts from 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Can you actually restore some of those older mounts? Because they all love to hang them on the walls of their deer camps.
Yeah, it is really good to do said things. I mean, even just like a cleaning your mounts. I mean, we spend all this money on our taxidermy, or my clients spend a lot of money on taxidermy. I want them to take care of that and have it forever and have it look nice. And yeah, just simply dusting it off. A lot of times we'll take mounts outside, or suggest that a customer would take a mount outside and just blow it off. You know, I mean, get that hair, clean the dust out of the hair. There's a lot of good products online you can order that will be like a dust repellent or shine the hair. Any horse products are good products. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that can be applied to them after the dust is out of them, and I suggest doing that 100%.
Kyle Schmidt, our guest, Northwoods Taxidermy, Eagle, Wisconsin. I'm going to take a break, but I want you, before we go to break, I want to have you, how can folks reach you if they want to get something mounted by you?
Yeah, so 262-366-9272 is the phone number here. Call or text, otherwise Facebook Messenger, email, our website, northwoodstaxidermywi.com. So,
all right, we're taking a quick break here. Talking to Kyle Schmitz. Thanks to WTMJ Outdoors, great sponsor, Outdoor Living Unlimited. After the break, it can't just be about the hunters. Got to talk about the fish side of this equation as well. We'll talk to Kyle about that and more on WTMJ Outdoors on 620. WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. We're talking to Kyle Schmidt, Northwoods Taxidermy, is where he does his great work. All right, so we talked about sort of the hunting side of things, mainly white-tailed deer. I'll get to some of the other things you guys do, but got to give some respect and love to those folks who, whether they've sort of netted the big muskie or northern or a walleye that looks impressive. So sort of the same questions, like how does that, I would imagine freezing is part of that process, right?
Yeah, again, I always go back to, you know, cold and dry, and by cold, frozen is the best. So bag the fish up. You always want to watch the fins, you know, as they freeze. If they're sticking out, they can be broken off. I mean, a lot of guys I'm seeing lately with the muskies, the big northerns, the big walleyes, they like to put those fish back. So replicas are often, you know, ordered here, based off measurements, and that's a good way to go. Then the fish goes back. There's nothing more you have to do other than measure the fish while you have it in the boat and give us a call. So. Yeah.
How big of the market is that replica thing now? I imagine it's pretty big.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, let's be honest, right? Sportsmen, we're good at conservation. We're good at these things. I mean, we don't want to keep an old muskie that another angler could potentially catch, you know? So I feel like most guys are pretty good about that, and they want to, you know, potentially see somebody else get that excitement of that fish. So they put it back, and they spend the money on a replica, and it lasts for lifetimes. You know, these things are... You know, and I don't want to say indestructible, but if they're cleaned, they're perfect forever, you know. So,
Kyle Schmidt, our guest on WTMJ Outdoors from Northwoods Taxidermy. So I'm looking at your price list, and I'm looking at all the animals that you guys you can work on. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And we're talking about big game, African game, some rare stuff. I'll just ask it this way. What's the most unusual mounts, maybe the most exotic mount you've ever worked on?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because we have worked on a lot of different things throughout the world, you know, and this goes back to even working with Dan. You know, we've done the, you know, a lot of lions, some of the elephants and whatnot that were legally harvested, some of the Argali sheep and whatnot. But right now in the shop, we actually have a two-headed calf that was a stillborn calf, and that's apparently 1 in 400 million. So that's probably one of the rarest things we have around here.
No kidding.
And so, yeah, that'll be going to New York to an oddity-type shop. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, Mike, one of the guys that works with me here, always remembers the kangaroo, the life-size kangaroo from Australia. So that just seemed to catch a lot of attention.
How big is a life-size kangaroo if you're standing next to it or sitting next to it?
Yeah, it's about a person, you know, a little bit smaller person, stature-wise, maybe 150 pounds. So it was an interesting animal to work on. A lot of different parts on a kangaroo.
I'm always fascinated by people's stories, so I want to get this into this conversation as well. So.
Sure.
You do some great work on the taxidermy side of things. I'm sure you're an outdoors guy as well, right?
100%. Yeah, that's the main reason I got into this business, is I just love the outdoors.
How do you spend your time outdoors?
We have a hunting property, and I manage it with my family, and we love to manage our property. We have a pond on it, and we set that up for the fish, and we set the rest of the property up with habitat for the animals, and it makes me happy. I enjoy it, you know, and fruits of your labor is a big thing in my life. So
And I've heard nothing but great things about your work there at Northwoods Taxidermy. So, folks, I'll give you one more chance. Want to find out about your great work, northwoodstaxidermy.com is your website. But if they want to reach out to you and say, all right, I want to bring my my deer, white-tailed deer in for mount, or whatever animal or fish they want to have mounted, how do they get a hold of you?
Yep. Now, again, give us a call at 262-366-9272. A call or a text is good. We're trying to answer the phone, you know, at any given time of the day. So give us a call there and we'll help you out.
All right. Thanks, Kyle, for coming on WTMJ Outdoors. I appreciate it. I know it's going to be a busy season for you. I'm sure we'll talk again down the road. But highly recommended, Northwoods Taxidermy. Great work by Kyle Schmidt. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Lots more to come after this.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Always wanted to have this on the show, and we're going to do it for the first time today. Dave Dewey, a fishing guide in our southeastern Wisconsin area, but fishing guides work all over the state and the country. And I thought it'd be a good topic as we sort of not wind down the fishing season, because we have ice fishing, of course, in most of the Midwest. But we want to talk to an expert on fishing our lakes and our streams and our rivers. Dave Dewey is a local fishing guide, expert fishing guide in our area. Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For easy question first, right? So how do you get into this business? How did you become a fishing guide?
Well, me personally, I moved to Walworth County 35 years ago, and I was bored and I didn't have a lot of friends yet. So I'd fish every day before work and after work. And a local bait shop owner said, wow, you fish a lot. And he offered me to take out a few customers. So the first year I did it maybe six or seven times, and I go, oh, this is kind of cool, and making money while fishing. So it just grew from there, and now I've been doing it over 30 years, and it's a different life, a lot of early mornings.
I can imagine. So I don't think I've ever worked with a fishing guide. I certainly knew they existed, but like, describe the experience for people. It starts as a contact, and we'll certainly give you a chance to tell people how they can contact you to sort of get that process started. But other than that, I don't know much about it. So sort of walk us through what happens, how the procedure works, the process, and then what you do as part of your job.
Sure. So basically, I have a website, and or I write for On Wisconsin Outdoors. And what happens, they reach out to me, and we usually just schedule a date and where to meet. On Delavan Lake, where I normally fish, we meet at the community park. So I usually, I'll call them the day before and just to confirm everything's good. And then they meet me at the park around 6 o'clock, hop in my boat. We fish 4 hours, and they're on their way.
All right, so...
And we fish...
So somebody hires you, and you get out on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they need to bring? Do you have everything, or do they need to bring some things with them? How does that work?
I provide everything except a license, basically.
Oh,
and
okay.
They bring waters and snacks and such like that. But all the bait, all the terminal tackle, all the rods and reels, I provide that. And it's really painless.
I love this comment you make on your website. No fish have been caught while sitting on the couch. And someone who's fished for everything from muskie to panfish over my many years of fishing on Wisconsin lakes and streams and rivers and all that. Patience is a virtue, they always say, but patience is always a requirement for anyone that wants to have fishing success, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But I guide at least six times a week, so all summer long. So I pretty much know every fish in the lake by name, pretty much, because I fish a lot of the same spots over and over. So it's not uncommon to catch the same fish four or five times this summer. So it's pretty...
We all been skunk. We know that. Is there such a thing as a hot spot, or do you have to just move around? Because we all know about trolling motors and all that stuff. You got to kind of find the fish, right?
Yeah, there is. This time of year, the largemouth bass are schooled up on... Main Lake weed points. So basically, if you can get on a good school, I've my 4-hour trips, I've fished one spot for you know, almost 3-4 hours of the whole trip. So you, it can be pretty consistent.
All right. I want to ask you, we're going to get to, in the second segment, we're going to get to some of the specifics about how the lake conditions are and what you're out there fishing for and what people are catching. But if you were going to list the factors for fishing success, like the things you should, not even with a guide, just if you're going out on your own or you got your own boat, whatever it is, what are your keys to success when it comes to catching fish in Wisconsin?
I'm a live bait fisherman, so I eliminate a lot of the stress of not catching fish by increasing my odds by doing live bait. Right now we're doing a lot of night crawlers. Once the water cools, then we'll switch to minnows, of course. The other thing is just you have to go, you know, don't wait for the perfect weather. The perfect weather exists maybe 2 days of summer. So I'm out there with an east wind. They always say fish bite least with an east wind, but you know, I've had some of my best days with an east wind. So I don't let anything stop me from fishing except maybe 2 inches of rain in 2 hours. You know, I'm not going to fish in the rain. No, that's zero fun.
And having done that, yes, I agree with you.
The other thing is just be positive. You know, I have some customers that fish, you know, from the first cast to the last cast when the trip ends, you know, they're constantly fishing. Where, you know, if I take some children out and such, you know, they lose interest after an hour. And if you're not fishing, you're not going to be catching. So you just got to keep fishing. And that's the key.
We're talking to expert fishing guy, Dave Dewey. How do folks find you? What's your website or your phone contact?
My website is fishdelavanlake.com. You can call me at 262-728-8063.
Perfect. We're talking to Dave Dewey. We'll take a break here on WTMJ Outdoors. After the break, lots more to talk about fishing in Wisconsin with an expert guide. You're listening, of course, to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Our guest is Dave Dewey, expert fishing guide. Lake Delavan is where you do a lot of your work, also some of the other local lakes in Walworth County. When you're looking at conditions this summer as we head to fall, what are you seeing? What are you fishing for? What are you catching?
Right now, we've had some rain. The fishing's really improved since we had the rain. Before the rain, we had a lot of that hot and humid weather, and the fish were really tough to catch. You could see them on my sonar, but then they just wouldn't bite. But now we're starting to get them. The largemouth bass are schooled up on weed points in about, you know, 14, 15 feet of water, which is different than most years. Usually they're a little deeper. This year they're a little more tucked in the weeds. And bluegill fishing all summer on Delavan's been fantastic. We fished those in about 12, 13 feet of water with a leaf worm just right over the side of the boat, basically.
One of the things that I am curious about is the again that experience thing. As you get out there and you see these fish, are most of the fisherwomen, are they keeping their fish? Or are they catch and release now? Because I love to catch panfish and make them at home. What's the experience that you're seeing out there?
Well, when I first started guiding, you know, 30 years ago, I bet you it was 90% of my people kept fish and 10% released them. And now that it's really turned. Now I would say 90% are catch and release and 10% keep them. So that's the one difference that is happening in my guide service.
Is that a good trend? I mean, fish populations, I don't know if it's like, you know, I was just talking to a deer management expert on a recent show. Is it have to be, we have to take a certain amount of fish, or does it matter?
On Delavan Lake, it is so regulated. I don't know if you knew this, but in like 1989, they drained Delavan Lake and restored the fishery. So when they did that, when they reopened the lake, there's some high size limits on the lake. So you can only keep one largemouth bass or smallmouth bass over 18 inches. And the northern pike have to be over 32. And the panfish, of course, now is all statewide is 25. But back in the day, it was 50. So that has really helped the lake keep the bigger fish, the spawning fish in the lake. And so Delvin's very a special body of water just from the sheer number of fish. And the average size of the bluegill on Delvin are probably 7 inches. And where most lakes, they're probably 3 or 4. So there's a lot of days you can get, 25, 8 to 9 inch bluegills on Delvin Lake.
Wow, nice size. I know that this has been a big controversy, is these forward-facing sonar. I think that's how they call them or describe them. Is that part of your business? Is that something you spend time on?
I'm not in favor of forward-facing sonar.
Tell me why.
I think you can really destroy the fishery. Like, I know a gentleman that does it on Delavan Lake in this spring with his forward-facing sonar. The walleyes were in like 6-7 feet of water in these weed holes, and he would go with his sonar, and he would catch limits every single day, like 6-7 days in a row. And I think that hurts a small lake like Delavan Lake, the walleye population, when one guy is, 60 walleyes in a couple weeks,
Yeah, I think everyone has to practice some common sense there. I agree with you on that one as well. All right, before we let you go, we're talking to Dave Dewey. He's a expert fishing guide in the southeastern Wisconsin area. The one biggest mistake that fishermen and women make when they go out. So what's that biggest mistake?
Biggest mistake? They're not using the right bait or what the fish want. Like some days when it's cloudy and foggy and you think you're going to get them, underneath a boat dock. The fish aren't in underneath the boat dock. The boat docks are best when it's sunny and bright, midday. You got to fish kind of like the old analogy, 10% of the lake holds 90% of the fish. It's just you got to fish where the fish are.
That's what we have fishing guides for, Dave.
Absolutely.
All right, one more chance to give folks a way to contact you if they'd like to hire you for your expert fishing guide services. How do they do that?
You can email me at fishdelavan@gmail.com, or you could call me 262-728-8063.
Always great to talk to experts in their field, and you're one of those. And if you're interested in his services, that's the way to get a hold of them. Thanks for taking the time to join WTMJ Outdoors, Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Lots more to come on the program. You're listening, of course, to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Country roads,
take me home. Thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors on this Saturday afternoon. It is always fun to talk about the outdoors in Wisconsin. And one of the things that I love to do is solicit ideas from you. So I am always ending the shows now with this ask. And if you have a topic, a guest idea, even a theme, maybe it's how we hunt or how we fish or even a controversial topic, please reach out to me at steve.scafidi@wtmj.com, 2F1D in Scafidi. With all of those suggestions, feedbacks, comments, I want this to be a you show, not just a me show. So although I love talking about this stuff, it's about celebrating the great outdoors in Wisconsin and beyond. We're going to have manufacturers on who make gear and equipment. We're going to have experts. We're going to have local folks who are celebrating great places in Wisconsin, including our leadoff of today's show, which was Mallory Payne from the city of Plover. What's that saying? Come over to Plover. There's so many people in the state of Wisconsin that don't stop when they're driving around this great state. And that's one of those drive-bys. Up Highway 39, center of the state, just east of Wisconsin Rapids, just south of Stevens Point, Wisconsin. But it's got lots of great recreational opportunities, whether you're talking about the water, roadways, trails, hiking, all of that. So Mallory Payne joined us from the City of Plover Tourism Department. And then you can't talk about hunting in the great state of Wisconsin without talking about the after piece of that story, which is taxidermy. Kyle Schmidt joined us from Northwoods Taxidermy, a guest suggestion from a listener of WTMJ Outdoors, and said, you got to have Kyle on the show. One of the experts in taxidermy. And this guy does everything from fish to white-tailed deer to African game, big stuff. He does all of that. He runs the gamut. You can find his great work at Northwoods Taxidermy. And it was just fascinating to hear sort of the preparation. If you shoot a white-tailed deer in the bow season or the gun deer season starting in November, how you should get your deer ready for mounting, whether that's a head mount, whether it's just the antlers. Great conversation with Kyle Schmidt. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, find it on the podcast. And we sort of wrap this week with Dave Dewey. I had been wanting to talk to an expert fishing guide for a while now. He was highly recommended by a journalist who covers the outdoors in Wisconsin. You can find his great work at fishdelavan.com. He does a lot of his work on Lake Delavan and the Walworth County Lakes, which, for those of you who don't know, is sort of southeastern Wisconsin, just west of Milwaukee. Fascinating conversation about fishing, what works, what doesn't, and tips for making your fishing experience better, and just things to do and not do when you're on a boat in Wisconsin, whether you're on a river, lake, or whatever. So always fascinating conversation. Here's my ask this week. When you listen to the show, or you go back and listen to our podcast, we've done about 10 of them now, I think, maybe more than that, listen for who we have on the show. Listen for what we need to get on the show. And I want to make this, as I said, a you show. Let's celebrate Wisconsin's outdoors. Let's do it in a fun way. Let's have those conversations. I'm willing to do anything to make your Saturdays more fun and interesting when it comes to Wisconsin great outdoors. This is part of the ticket for me. This is something that I've enjoyed doing now in the last few months. We're going to take it through the hunting season, obviously. We got bow season coming up pretty soon, gun deer season, all the other corollary hunts after that. And, of course, get the turkey and duck and all that stuff. Fishing season, ice fishing season, don't forget about that. Any ideas, send them my way. Steve.Scafidi, 2Fs1D at WTMJ.com. Thanks to our great sponsors at Outdoor Living Unlimited, the great Eric Brown, who walks us through all the things that their company can do for you outdoors, including decks and patios, all that stuff. Check them out. And for all of you, thanks again for listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ.